So we just about to start the new parak lulav hagazel. The Mishnah says lulav hagazel v'hayavish pasul. So the Mishnah tells us that a lulav that's stolen, a lulav that's dried out, is pasul. And Rashi tells us the reason why it's stolen is pasul. As we know, pasuk says lakachtem lachem. You're supposed to take it on your own. Mishlachem, you have to own it. It's stolen, of course, is not owned by you. And Yavesh, Rashi tells us, is possible because the Ba'inan mitzvah mihuderes dichsiv v'anveyu, you need to have this very nice, beautiful mitzvah. And since it's Yavesh, dried out, it's not considered beautiful. So Rashi, this is talking about lulav. So Tosfos points out on the top, lulav Yavesh possible, u'mifarish b'gemara mishum de'iskish lulav le'esog dichsiv be'hadar. In reality, really, Tosfos argues. Tosfos says the word hadar, which means beautiful also, is mentioned only by pre-Eitz Hadar, by the Esog. How are you able to apply it to our mission of Lulav? So that Tosfos says it's to the Hekesh of Lulav to Esog. So just like Hidr applies to Esog, so it applies to Lulav. So Tosfos is clearly arguing on Rashi. Rashi says it's generic psul of Zeh Kelev Yanveyu, as opposed to Tosfos thinks it's unique to something specific to Lulav and Esog.
According to Rashi, it should apply to every, it should apply to any chifetz from mitzvah that's in any ways damaged or not
right
in its perfect shape.
Right. So it's, everyone agrees such a concept does exist, that every mitzvah has a certain amount of hiddah to it. But the real problem with Rashi is, look at the next line of Tosfos. He says, lo kmo sheber kuntris mishum dechsev zeh kelev yanveyu de'ein v'anveyu ela l'chachila. That's only just how to do it. But v'lo mifsal b'hach, it doesn't disqualify it. So how exactly does Rashi get around that? We have another concept the Gemara told us already before, that you're supposed to tie it up, according to one opinion at least, because Zeh Kelev Yanveyu. But that's not ma'akev, it doesn't disqualify. So how's Rashi coming along and saying Zeh Kelev Yanveyu is going to disqualify the Esog? I think some say that this concept of Hidr Mitzvah through Zeh Kelev Yanveyu, one could raise the question whether that's a mitzvah klalis, like we spoke about before, to a mitzvah pratis. In other words, is it generic mitzvah, or no, each mitzvah, it kind of attaches to it and becomes very unique. So Rashi has to say somehow that Zeh Kelev Yanveyu becomes unique to the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog, and since we already have a concept that Esrog has Hidr attached to it, so through Zeh Kelev Yanveyu, we're able to apply Hidr also to lulav in a very specific way, even in a way that's ma'akev of the mitzvah. And then it still requires a bit of a hesber. I think that's how they explain the machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Now, what's interesting now, Tosfos continues and asks, v'hai yavesh dehacha, how do you define what's considered dry? We need some type of a gedder of how dry it has to be. Ein lefarish kemo yavesh deperek ein mamidim, not the way we use it in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. The tanan hachar tzanim shal nachim yaveshim mutarin. So if you have talking about yai nesach there, and the leftovers, the peels of the grapes, after they become dry, they're mutter, it's no longer yai nesach. U'mefarish b'gemar, what's the shear of yavesh? La'achar shnei masachovdash, after 12 months, so we assume there's no longer considered yai nesach. We use this heter of 12 months sometimes when it comes to kasher and kalim as well. After 12 months, you may not need to kasher certain things. That yavesh, she says, deha amrin l'kaman gave hadas yavesh yavshu rov olav, when most of the leaves have withered, v'nishtayar sham shlosha ba'dei olam, and three are remaining, lachin ksherin alma inaveshes tali b'shnei masar chodesh. It doesn't depend on shnei masar chodesh. Not quite sure what the raya is, but what the shir is, he says, is el yeshlomar yaveshes tahacha kmo yaveshes ozen b'chor. When it comes to b'chor, one of the mumim are that if it has the ears dried out, so then that's going to be possible. What's the shir of dryness by a b'chor? So Tosfos writes to Tanam Beperkol Eila Mumin, Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulash Mishulam Omer Yivesha Ad Shete Nifrechas Bitziporim. That its ear is so dry, if you touch it, it could crack using your nails. That's the shear of Yivesha. So very strange that Tosfos learns this from Bechoros. As you'll see, I'm going to point this out many times. There's a machlokas when it comes to the nature of Dalaminim. Pashas is, it's coming there, like the Yushalmi says, it's there to Bimashabach and Halav Hodah Takarish Baruch. It's a way of praising. It's a form of Tefillah Takarish Baruch. Not Tefillah, it's really praise Takarish Baruch. The other approach is really based on the Gemara in Tainish, that Bezim and Bez, where it says that the Dalaminu are Bum Lirata. So it comes to be Mirata Takarish Baruch, some type of Kapar, some type of Tshuva. It's a Ritzoy. It's similar to that of a carbon. So once you assume it's like a carbon, we can understand where Tosfos comes from. So now it's like a Bechor, which is also a carbon. We could have the same shear of the Yavashis, that they're both a din and ritzui. The other approach is the Yushalmi says, what's the Shir Nevashis? So it doesn't quite say the Shir Nevashis, but it says the reason why you can't use the Yavashis is not because Zekeli Vanveyu, rather because the law of Mesim Yahaluka. The Mesim can't give praise. So that Yushalmi clearly assumes is about giving praise, not about Ritzoi, but about giving praise. And the Ravid says, what's the Shir Nevashis? The Ravid takes this Yushalmi, this Pasuk, and says, what's the Shir Nevashis when it's completely dry? Sounds like he's assuming that it's like dead. It has to be mamish like mace, and that's when it's going to be completely dry. When it's 100% dry, it doesn't give an exact shear. If I remember correctly, I think he says just let's see, ein bo lachluchus varehu ke'etz yavesh. Mamish like a piece of branch, a piece of bark, and that to me sounds like he's consistent in the rabbi with himself that says lo mace mi haluka. When it's mamish completely dry, that's when it's going to be disqualified. Interesting, also the Baal Mor creates his own pasuk, not the Yushalmi. He says, "Hakrivehu nal l'fchasecha." You can't bring a carbon that's pasul. So what's he bringing this pasuk about a carbon to the case of a lulav? Sounds like the Baal Mor also assumes that the idea of a carbon is to come to be baal ratzos. Okay, so the Mishnah continues and says, "Shel ashera v'shel irha nidachas pasul." If it's an ashera tree that was used for avodah zarah, or if it's an iradachas, where the people there had been worshiping Avodah Zarah and you wipe everything out, those two cases are possible. The reason why the possible the Gemara is going to tell us is because it has no shear. The Gemara will address that. Then let's say nektam rosha, let's say the top of the lulav gets sliced off, that's going to be possible. And Rashi explained because that's not hiddur. Sometimes you're going to have cases where it's not where it's chaser, sometimes you're going to have cases where this is hiddur. So I think this is machlokas when it gets cut off, whether that's a psul in hiddur, whether it's a psul in chaser. Rashi says it's a psul in hiddur. And then let's say nifritu alav, let's say the leaves mamish fall off. Then Rashi says, but you, they're not connected, but you tie them back together, but they're really mamish not connected to it. That's going to be pasul. But if nifritu alav, if they just spread but are still connected from the bottom, that was going to be considered kosher, as long as they're still connected on the bottom. V'yehuda omer, yagdenim l'mal, but you have to make sure to tie them on the top. They can't be hanging over at all. You have to just tie them from the top so that it goes up straight together. And then it's going to be kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, tzinei har barzel, particular types of lulavim that come from this place, those are considered good lulavim. Gemara is going to explain what exactly these lulavim are. And then lulav sheish bo shlosha tvachim kedei lananea bo kasher. The lulav has three tvachim in order to shake it, that's going to be kasher. And Rashi points out, the Gemara says already, this is two white lines down in Rashi, he says, kedei lananea bo, mifarish be Gemara shlosha tvachim tea shidra keneged orchel shahadas. The shidra, which people oftentimes don't realize, doesn't refer to the entire lulav from the top to the bottom. Only the spine, the hard part, has to be three tvachim, we'll see in a second, four tvachim. Not from the top, from the bottom to the tip of the leaf. You have to measure the actual stem, the hard part that's inside of the lulav. Again, people make a big mistake. So it has to be three tefachim. The tefach yosei, you need another tefach, three tefachim to make it equal to tadasim, and then a fourth tefach, which the Mishnah doesn't say, but the Gemara says, you need a fourth one, kidei, lina neba, and it's a fourth one you need to shake over it. That's what's pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, Gemara says now, Kapasik v'tani lo shana b'yom tov rishon lo shana b'yom tov sheni. The Mishnah just says categorically across the board that these psulim gazel and yavesh are pasul throughout sukkahs. Doesn't specify day one. Doesn't specify day two. Throughout the entire sukkahs, these things are pasul. So now we have to remember that midiraisa, you only have to outside the base of mikdash. There's only a chiv of lulav day one. The remaining 6 days, there's no chiv at all. Chachamim, Rabbi Yochum and Zaka in particular, made a takana that we should have the lulav all 7 days to model after the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, there's a chiv dal minim all 7 days, gvulim only 1 day, but they added the other 6 days. So across the board, the Mishnah says that you don't have to have, you have to, all these psulim apply. So Gemara explains, Bishlama, Yavesh Hadar Be'inan Veleka, I understand when it's dried out, because you need hiddur the entire week. Because the hiddur is a definition of pre-Eitz Hadar, and through that hekesh of Tosos that the Gemara brings, also lulav. You have to have hiddur throughout. If it doesn't have hadar, it's not called a lulav, it's not called an esrog. So across the board, you need hadar. Ella, when it comes to guzzle, when it's stolen, bishlam of yom tov rishon, I understand why day one, it says lakachtam lachem, on day one you need the to own it. Dichsev lachem, mishalachem. But why, what about Yom Tov Sheni? Why Yom Tov Sheni is there psul of guzzle? It should be permitted because lachem only applies to day one. So Rashi, look at the bottom toast now. He points out, what do you mean? It's very strange. If really mikra din, there's only chiv to have dal minim on day one. And the rest of the days, it's only midir banan. So are we basically taking whatever the requirements are day one and extending that throughout the remaining 6 days? So once we're extending it, why are we saying lachem applies to day one only, but hadar applies to all 7 days? It should either be all or nothing. So Tosus, the first line explains, this is Tosus the Ramaschal Be'inan Hadar Veleka. He says, Mashma de Pshitele de Be'inan Hadar Lechul Yom. It's Pashit, you need Hadar the entire week. V'lachem Yishlachem lo betokim el b'yom t'rishon. And it's Pashit also, you need Lachem only for day one. V'chein v'lekachtem d'mametin aminei chaser de Be'inan l'kichatama lo mifsal b'yom t'rishon. And l'kachtem Lachem, we make a drasha, Tama has to be complete to exclude the psul of chaser. Chaser only applies to day one. So Tos says it just seems to be not obvious, but the Gemara takes this for granted that day one you only have the psul of lachem and psul of chaser, and the remaining 6 days you also have the psul of hadar. But Tos says go one line down. He says v'tema, ma'ishna zemizeh hakul b'hadar hadadei k'sivi. They're all written next to each other. B'chad krum one pasuk it says lokachtem lachem b'yom arishon pri'eis hadar. So we should take that one pasuk and apply it the whole day, the whole week rather. And the psul gazel, the psul chaser, the psul hadar should apply the entire week. Tos asks a bunch of questions. If you go down to the bottom, now 3 lines in the bottom of this Tosfos, towards the end of that line, Hilkach, the Be'ikar al-Kicha, he says as follows. The Ikar al-Kicha, the main taking of the Kigon Dalaminim, ul-Kicha l'chalecha, the Tikin Mishra Yome, Kein Deraisa. When it comes to just Mamish taking the Lulav, picking it up, that applies to all 7 days. The Chain Hadar Mishum Hidr Mitzvah. And Hidr also, he said, because the idea of Hidr Mitzvah, we always have the concept of Hidr Mitzvah, so we apply that the whole... So, Lekicha, when it comes to this basic taking the mitzvah, of course you have to take the mitzvah all four. You can't just say, take the lulav, or just take the esav. You have to take all four together, which is learned out from Lekachtim. You have to take them as a unit. And also, the concept of Hidr is something that's generic. So that should also apply to the six mitzvahs, 6 other days, because it's something that applies to all mitzvahs. About B'chaser, B'shaol, Lotikin, and B'gazel, Plugsa. Comes to Chaser, comes to Shaol, these things are not part of the basic mitzvah. These things are not generic concepts. So therefore, we say it only applies to day one. And something that's unique to Dal Minim, that applies to day one. Something that comes as that's basic, and something that's general concept, like Hidr Mitzvah, that applies. When it comes to Gazel, there's a machlokas, as we'll see in a second. That's how Tosus kind of wiggles out of this seemingly strange Gemara.
I would say, maybe Tosus would say this, but I would say that something that defines the item itself, Marshall, you can't take a lemon just because of the fact it's a rabbanon. You have to take what the Torah said to take. And the Torah said to take an item that's identifiable by how, because it's an esrog, it's a lulav, and it's hiddur. That's what the item looks like. So I would say that has to apply by the rabbanon, because the rabbanon are borrowing what from the Torah. But in terms of the underlying externalities of it, in terms of how it's yours, in terms of, you know, the manner in which you do it, that's where I could see the rabbanon have more.
Right, I think it's basically what he's saying, except when it comes to the hadar aspect, which is not part of the definition of esrog, at least the way Tosfos approaches it. The only reason why you require hadar the entire week is because of hidr mitzvah, the general hidr mitzvah, not because hidr is a definition in the lulav and esrog. It's really this generic concept. So you see here, Tosfos already agrees, hadar is not a definition in esrog above. Hadar is also a din hidr mitzvah, like Rashi. He just uses a specific hidr that applies to lulav and esrog. As opposed to Rashi using the general Kilgamveyu, Tos finds a specific hiddur, but still the general hiddur being used to the hadar mentioned in the pasuk. So, but I think you're right. You need those things that are the basic definitions of the lulav, dal minim, are required. It's the external things like chaser and like shaol are things that don't apply to the remaining days. Okay, now again, there's a big machlokas whether or not chaser applies the all 7 days or not all 7 days. Okay. Now the Gemara says, so why is Guzzel possible on day two? L'kachtem lachem only applies to day one, not day two. So Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explains as follows. Mishum Rabbi Yishum ben Yochai. Mishum. The Havale mitzvah haba be'aver. Because since it's stolen, it taints the mitzvah, and you can't perform dal midim through a avera. So Tosus writes on top here, actually, let's finish reading the Gemara a little bit more, I guess. What's the source of mitzvah babi avera? The Gemara says, Shinemar v'havesim gazul v'esach piseach v'esachola. So we can't, and you bring stolen, you bring an animal missing a limb, you bring a sick animal, these things should not be brought. It's a pasuk found in Malachi. And the Gemara makes a drasha, gozel dumi de pesach. They put gozel next to pesach. Why? Ma pesach, lesle takanta, just like a person who's missing a limb or an animal missing a limb, there's no way to fix it. Av gozel lesle takanta, so too. And when something's stolen, there's no way to fix it. It's already been tainted with shame, psul, gozel. You can't fix it as a carbon anymore. Lo shal lefnei yish, lo shal lachar yish. Doesn't make a difference whether you stole it and it's before the guy gave up. Doesn't make a difference if you stole it and the guy gave up already. Across the board, this is tainted and you can never fix this problem of being stolen. So Gemara continues and says, first of all, it's interesting, we're bringing a raya, mitzvah babi avera, when it comes from the source of karbanos. We're applying this from karbanos to that of lulav nesag. We'll see in a second Tosfos about this. Let's read a few more lines before we do this Tosfos. So Bishma lufnei yish, I understand why before the guy gave up hope, the owner who I stole from was there miyash. I understand why I can't bring that as a karban, because adam ki yakir mikem am rachmanav lavdi dehu. You have to bring it from your own pocket. You can't bring someone else's. It's not yours. That's why it's possible. Alachar yish, how can you be yish? But if the guy gave up hope already, so I was koneh with the yish. He gave up hope. Now it's hefker, if you will, according to one approach. Yish is midin hefker, like Rashi writes in Baba Metzia. So now I'm koneh it, so I could certainly bring the karban. So why is it possible? Because it's been tainted. You're right, maybe midin mamonos, you have it, ownership to it, but midin karbanos and midin lulav nesog, it's not considered yours. Very strange. Why is it not considered yours? Lakachtem lachem, the pasuk says. I understand why karbanos has to be midin ritzur. In order for it to be ritzur, you have to have it completely tahor, completely pure and untainted. When it comes to dal minim, all I need is lakachtem lachem. I have to own it, so I do own it. Elamai, what you see from here also is the idea I said before, is that even the elements of dal minim have the concept of karbanos attached to it. It has to also be a ritzoi. And if it's tainted like a carbon's tainted, you can't bring it as dal minim. The Tosas says on top here, Mishum Dhavale Mitzvah Babi Avera, he says, V'hatitani l'kaman perek lulav v'arava, l'chem isha l'chem, l'hoti es ha-shaol v'es ha-gazam mishum shaol, itzirch d'v'lav ha-chi l'chem nafka l'gazam mishum d'hav mitzvah babi avera. Later on, we use the word lachem to exclude a borrowed and to exclude a stolen. But why do you need to bring lachem to exclude stolen? You already have the concept mitzvah babi avera, so you don't need a pasuk lachem. So he says, Einach Nami, you're right that lachem is only needed for shaul. It just mentions gazel anyways, but gazel is really learned out from mitzvah babi avera. The afa gav the krog gavi carbon ksiv, who are then become mitzvahs to havi deraisa. It just happens to be the source, but applies to all mitzvahs as well. I believe the Ritva says that no, because also dal minim has an inyan of ritzoy attached to it. I think the Mishnah Javits has a whole discussion based on this Ritva that it's only unique to things that are subject to ritzoy. He quotes his Ritva in the back here, but I think he misquotes him. He writes in the name of the Ritva that it's only things that come to be mispalel umshabeach, but not other mitzvahs. I didn't look up the Ritva this time, but I believe he misquotes. I think it's about ritzur, not about shevach, which is a big nafkmin, as I mentioned before. You see, in the footnote, he quotes the Ratzos. On the top here, he misquotes it. I don't know why. Okay, so anyway, so that's Ritva's answer, because no, it's not any mitzvah. It's not just, it was brought by carbon, and it happens to be by carbon, but all other mitzvahs. It's only things like karbanos that is midin ritzur, and as I said, Rav Jolte has a whole discussion based on this. Then Tosfos goes on to ask, he says, let's read a little bit further. Kemuchach bereisha gozel kama gavi harig shagozel seh shalchitim v'tachna afa afirfish. You steal a person's flour, you grind it, you bake it, and you mafresh challah. De'ein zeh mevarach al menayitz. That too, that's not considered bracha when you make the bracha on the challah. That's menayitz. That's called something disgusting. You can't make a bracha on something that's been stolen. So we see by other mitzvahs as well, you have the concept of mitzvah babi aver. So Tosfos asks an interesting question. Vim tomar. The Kaman, later on, we ask, the paslin and lulav shall asher v'shal ir nedachas mishum mechtas shira. The reason why you can't use an asherah tree for lulav or a ir nedachas lulav, because you have to burn it. And once you have to burn it, we don't acknowledge it having a shira. It has no shira, and a lulav requires a shira. Tosfos asks, typically mishum mitzvah babi avera. V'suah mai sharin and lav asher demosha. So why do you need the psul of it has no shira? It should be possible because of mitzvah babi avera. And furthermore, the only type of Asherah tree that requires a burning is only that of a Moshe, the Asherah that times the Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tosfos answers, V'yishlomer delo dami legezel demachmas avera, hagezel ba mitzah, shiotzi ba, avahanu atu machmas avera, shenasas ba minafik be. The Tosfos writes an important idea. When does mitzah babi avera apply? Only when the avera enables me to do exactly, we mentioned this in the past, facilitates you performing the mitzvah. So when I stole the lulav, that now allows me and enables me to perform the mitzvah. But in a sherit tree, in a dachas, aveira was done to that, but that's not what's facilitating my performance of the mitzvah, so it doesn't apply to those cases. That's why I need another reason of, namely, mechtas shira, to say why in a sherit tree, in a dachas, is possible. Okay. I think the Akronim point out that this Tosus seems to assume, by the way, that mitzvah b'aveira is a din d'oraisa. Because otherwise, what's the... Exactly. So, but Tosus earlier in Daf Tes, I think, we said that it may not be... it was d'rabbanan, Tosus said, so there's a stira in Tosus until they deal with this stira. Gemara says now, so again, the reason why on day one, lulav is possible because a stolen lulav is possible because lachem. On day two, it's possible because mitzvah b'aveira. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan now. Mishum Rabbi Yishum Ben Yochai. My dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Kani Hashem oiv mishpat"? I am Hashem. I love judgment. So ne geza ba'avla. I hate people. I hate things that are stolen. So what does the pasuk mean? Hashem hates things that are stolen. So mashal melech baser v'dam. It's comparable to a story about a king. Shaya over al beis hamechas. He was going back, passing by his treasury where he keeps all the tax money from he collects from all his people. He says to his servants, please give some of my money in my treasury, in my warehouse of money, give it to the mechas, the tax collector. So they ask him, they say, you're paying yourself. All the tax money goes to you. So why are you paying yourself? Doesn't make any sense. You're adding a step here. Just keep the money. So Amr Lehem, he says to them, everyone will learn from me. So if I'm paying the taxes, they'll see me paying the taxes, they'll also pay taxes. So I'll set a good example for them. I'll be a role model for them. You're right, Kadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. He doesn't have to hate Gezel. He could take a carbon for anything, because you could bring a carbon you steal from that guy. Well, either way, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so who cares who owns it from the... perspective of humans, and from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's all his. So you're right, it's really mine. No matter whose animal you bring, it's all mine. But I want to set an example that if I will not take from stolen goods, so too they won't steal from others. So this is a very interesting mashal here. So one of my favorite favorite shirim is throughout Chazal, Midrashim, Gemara, you find a number of times, I don't think we ever saw it yet, I don't think we came across it since Pesachim. You see the Gemara brachos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. You see the Gemara elsewhere, they perform certain mitzvahs. In Gemara and Gittin, Gemara Vodazar, he learns Torah. So what's pshat? The Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, he davens, he keeps Shabbos, he learns. What's pshat in that? So one of the answers, one of the explanations is based on this Gemara, this mashal. The Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to do mitzvahs, of course, but if he does the mitzvahs, kaviyachal, that sets an example for us to perform the mitzvahs, based on this mashal. Gemara says now, Itmar, Nami, it was also stated, Amar Rabbi Ami, Yavesh pasal mipnesh ein hadar, gazel pasal mishum tavale mitzvah babi avera. So Yavesh is pasal, like Rashi told us in the Mishnah, based on this Gemara, that's pasal because of hider, and therefore it's pasal the entire week. And stolen is pasal because mitzvah babi avera, everything seems consistent with what we said thus far. Upligid Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak actually argues, Damar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel, lo shenu el biyom tovarishon, is only true on day one that gazel is pasal because of lachem. On day two, mitoch shiyot sebishal yotzi nami begusel. Just like you use a borrowed lulav, so too you could use a stolen lulav. What do you mean? Isn't there another concept of a mitzvah babi avera? So it seems that Rabbi Yitzchak argues in the concept that he says it's only possible din lachem. There's no psul mitzvah babi avera. Now it could either be he thinks that mitzvah babi avera doesn't exist. He entirely throws out that concept, or he thinks this particular application for some reason won't apply here. Okay, Gemara asks Masiv, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, lulav ha-gazel v'yavesh pasul, the Mishnah tells us that both stolen and dried out is pasul lulav, ha-shal kosher, but only stolen and dried out is pasul, but borrowed is permitted. Well, Amos, which day are we talking about where you can use shal? Ilema b'yomtav region, if the Mishnah is talking about the first day, ha-ksiv lachem, mishal lachem, v'hai lav didehu, you can't use a borrowed lulav because you need lachem, and it's not owned by you. So certainly can't be talking about day one. Elam biyom tov sheni is the Mishnah not talking about the day two, and v'katani gazel pasul. Yet it still says that the stolen lulav is pasul on day two. Sounds like it's against Rabbi Yitzchak. And why is it pasul day two? Because of mitzvah be'aveira, and this is a kasha to Rabbi Yitzchak. Gemara says, no, Rav Amar, I'll read the parentheses, Li'olam B'yom Tov Rishon. Really, the Mishnah is talking about day one. Well, if it's talking about day one, so why doesn't it mention Shol, which seems to imply that Shol is permitted in day one, but it's not permitted in day one because Lachem. The Gemara says, no, Lomi Bai Kamar. It was Lomi Bai. Lomi Bai Shol Dilav Didehu didn't need to tell me that Shol is possible. It's Pasher. Pasha that shell is no can't be used because you don't own it on day one. Everybody knows the drash lachem. Don't shell is obviously no good for a lulav. It didn't mention it. Aval guzzle when it came to something stolen. Ema stam gzela yish bailamu. Pasha, in most cases that you steal an object, the person's the owner is going to be miyish. And uchididami, and it's going to be as if the gazlan owns it. So you might think that you could use guzzel. Guzzel is actually going to be better than shol for the use of the lulav, because shol, the owner still owns it. I'm using his; that's not mine. But when I stole it, since there's stam yish bailim, I'm going to be the owner, and I should be able to use it. Kamash Malan comes to teach me no, that you can't use it. What's a Kamash Malan? Rashi tells us that. Kamash Milan, the ad dishamina and the ayish lo kanile. Until you actually hear him be miayish, even though there's an assumption, stam yishbalim, you can't assume it unless you actually hear it. The meima amar hashtu the takiv minai lamacha tafsina leid bedina, because the owner's going to say, okay, today the gazan took from me, tomorrow I'll take him to the court. So unless you hear him say it, you can't assume that he was miayish and it therefore not yours. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah.
So it's mashma after yish. That was.
After Yish is Mashma.
If you heard he was Miyayish on Yom Tov Rishon.
Sound like you would own it, but you're asking, what about Mitzvah Abi Avera? So,
and the bigger kasha is Tosos, because Tosos was bothered. What do you need Mitzvah Abi Avera for? You have Lachem. I'll tell you why. Yom Tov Rishon, Acher Yish Bailam, if someone heard the guy was Miyayish, he stole. I'm sorry. Tosos says his question was the other way around. He said, why do you need Lachem if you have Mitzvah Abi Avera?
Right. So, but it's so interesting though, because even forgetting lachem, even if you grant me lachem from Gazel, let's say it is yish bailam, it's still gonna be a problem of mitzvah be'avera. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know.
Unless Rashi holds that mitzvah b'mavera is only for fun.
Maybe the point is. So here it points out here in the footnote, we're working within the opinion of Shmuel, who didn't hold the mitzvah be'avera avera. We're asking according to him. If you held the mitzvah be'avera avera, it would be possible, even though they would be yish.
According to Shmuel, it's going to be kasher the entire yantif.
If there's yish, right?
If there's yish. If there's no yish, it should also be.
There's no yish.
You don't need lachem except for the first day.
But with day one, it wouldn't be good.
Day
though.
One, it wouldn't be. Right. According to Shmuel, will come out. It's always kosher.
Right. Okay. So the Gemara says now. Amar lahu rav huna lahanu avankri. Rav Huna advised that avankri, which Rashi tells us, are they tigre kol davar listaker bo, the merchants. They sell things. So the people, when they go sell the lulavim, he advised them as follows. When you buy the hadasim, asa is Aramaic for hadasim. When you buy hadasim from the goyim, lo sigzizu asan, you shouldn't cut them off the fields. Ela ligazzuhu inu liavluchu. Let the goyim cut them off and give them, hand them over to you. My time, what was the reasoning behind this advice? Stam over the kochavim gazlana arasaninu. Stam goy. Stole land. And Rashi points out. Rashi adds something interesting in. He says, "Ma'ish taima stam akum gazli arad miyisrael ninu." He adds in the gears of miyisrael dafka, not land, but miyisrael. Shema osu karka miyisrael have it. Perhaps it was a Jewish owned land. So, and if it was a non-Jewish owned land, there wouldn't be an issue of gzela. Don't we paskin gzela's akum is aser? So they talk about this, that perhaps Rashi is assuming that maybe Gzias Akum is not Usser. Okay. So, anyways, he says, have the Goyim cut them off from the field, and then they could give them to you. So what's the reason for this, though? So Gemara explains further that Kark in an Gzelas, land does not get stolen. You can't, there's no Kinyan Karka on it, Kinyan Gzela on it. So when the Goyim takes someone's land, so it's still the owner's, the Baal has ownership of it. Hilgach ligazazuhu inu, let them cut it off. And when they cut it off, that's when the gzela is going to take place. The mice gzela is when he's stealing, making it into metal, when he makes it into talush. Kihecha de lehevi yish bailam biyadehu. Did too. And when the yish bailam kicks in, now the owners of the land already gave up hope. But the yish doesn't take effect. It can't work on karka because karka is in an gzela. So it's kind of, it's hovering above. Once a goyim come and steal, cut off the hadasim, then becomes metalton, the yish affects the metalton. And they have stolen the, have kinani karka, kinani gizela. And then shin reshus biyadaycho, and then when they hand it to you, then it's going to be shin reshus. So you have yish alone doesn't work. Yish kadilo kani bipaskin. So the yish alone is not going to be, won't create ownership. So the yish will be in their hand, they'll violate the isegzela, and then when they give it to you, you have yish plus shin reshus, that will give you full ownership. That's a kinyan, and without you violating any gzela. That's just how Rashi speaks it out a little bit. Rashi says, let's take it from the top, Rashi. V'karka inu nigzelas. He says, Kolomar inu knui lagazlam b'shum yish. But it's talking about kinyanim. Even though it says gzela, there really issues in terms of gzela. You can't own, you can't acquire karka through stealing. The olam v'cheses balehi. It always stays in the rishus, so the ownership of the title, it goes to the owner. And they're psukim for this. Once it becomes disconnected, detached from the ground, hapri vegezel, who goes on, the person who takes it off is the one who steals it. So the goy is the one who's violating the iser gzela here. Let the goyim cut it off, and hand it over to you, the avankari. They'll be the ganavim, the gazlanim. And you buy it from them. And they already, giving up of hope. Kvar mikol pears, they already gave up hope on all the fruit. Have a yisha etzlam, v'charkach hu mishtana mirshus on l'rishushchem, and then hand it over from their rishus to your rishus. The kusavar yish greda lo kani, yish alone doesn't work. Have a yish v'shin rishus kani. If you have both them, it will work. V'nami kari mitzvah babi avera have, im atem tach techua minem b'chubar dehei atem gozim. Another concept of mitzvah babi avera, I'm not sure what he means by that one. Either way, that's the advice. Have them violate gzela and hand it to you. You'll accomplish yish plus shina rishus. So the Gemara says, so for the end of the day, the Gemara asks, ki gazu avankri, even if the avankri themselves were to do the cutting, levi yish bailim biyadayu, yish will take effect in their hand. Vishina rishus biyadan, and when they hand it over, they're merchants, remember. Then they're going to sell them to the members of Yisrael, and then the Yisrael will have a full kinyan on it. So why do you have to have the goyim cut off first? Let the merchants cut it off, and there'll be yish b'ayim, and then give it over to the seller off. You have yish plus shin rishus. Now the issue is, what kind of havmin is this? Didn't Rashi say before that the ones who cut it off are considered gazlanim? How would we be able to advise the avankri to cut it off to then sell it off to the other Jews? Won't the avankri be violating the iser gzela? What do they say back here? Nothing. Hear the question, right?
So Gemara is saying that let them cut it, you have yish, and you also have shina rishus in their hands. How do you have shina rishus in their hands?
No, the avankri will steal it, they'll cut it, and then they're going to sell it to the merchants. They're going to sell it to the other people. So when you give it to the other people, let's say to me, I buy it from the merchant, so in my hand, I'll have full ownership. So if they're giving advice how to properly perform the mitzvah of lulav, so even they themselves could cut it off because they're going to sell it in the end of the day anyways to the other Jews. And when I receive it, I'm going to get full ownership because through their yish of the bailim plus the shinur yishus, I'm going to gain ownership. My question is, though, but won't the avankri themselves be violating the iser gzela once they cut it off? That's what I thought the problem was.
I don't understand how this is different than the original case. We said that, when you said on Amar Aleph that when you're buying from them, you shouldn't cut it yourself. let them cut it.
Right.
So that's the kinyan with the shina rishos, and then there's the yish bailam, and then there's the that's the kinyan with the yish bailam, and then there's the shina rishos. When is the shina rishos? When they were to sell it to you.
When they give it to the merchants first. Selling it to the merchants is stage one. The wholesaler gives it to the.
And then you get it from that person.
Right.
So now the Gemara is saying, let the person who cut it directly give it to you?
No, let the Avankri themselves cut it. Not the Goyim. Let the Avankri cut it.
Let the Avankri.
That'll be Yish. And then when they sell it to the Jews, that'll be Shinir Shus. So when I eventually get it from the merchant, I'll have full ownership.
The Avankri that are Jewish.
Right. But the question is, though, but aren't the Avankri going to be violating the Issa Gezela when they sell it? So how do you get around that problem? I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. I'll leave that question off to the side for now.
Yeah.
See, the way the Gemara says that so we can let the Avankri themselves cut it off, and then they can hand it over to the other Jews, sell it to the other Jews, and you have Yish plus Shinir Shus. So Gemara says, no, that's not going to work, because lo tzicha de boshana de avankri gufayu. So we're talking about the avankri's hadassim themselves. Yeah, the merchants are, of course, going to buy from the wholesaler to sell, but those who want to get for themselves. So when they're the ones who are cutting and keeping for themselves, you don't have the shin rishus. That's why they say, have the goyim cut it, so when you get it, you have the shin rishus. Gemara asks, well, l'knihu b'shin emaisa. So we prosecute Yish alone doesn't work. Yish kedilo kani, but Yish plus something else works. So we have three cases that work. Yish plus Shinoi Shus works, we just said. Yish plus Shinoi Maisa also is a kinin. And Yish plus Shinoi Hashem works as well. So the Gemara says, let the Avankri cut them off themselves. There'll be Yish in the hands of the Avankri. And then there'll be Shinoi Maisa also, without having to give it to anybody else. There'll be Shinoi Maisa. What's a Shinoi Maisa? When you start wrapping the agate around the lulav, that's a Shinoi Maisa. So if Yish plus Shinoi Maisa, that should be good enough, and you don't need the goyim to cut them off in the first place. So Gemara says, Kesavar lulav ein tzarich eged. We hold, and this Mandamar at least holds, that you don't require an eged for lulav. Since you don't require the eged, the Maisa is not considered an important Maisa. It's not considered a Maisa. That doesn't qualify as a Shinoi Maisa. That's why you have to do Shinoi Shus to own the das. Mimtim to lomar lulav tzarich eged, and if you want to contend that we pass on the mandamar that does require an eged and it would be considered shina maisa, no, it still won't be considered a shina maisa because it's a shinoi hachozel b'yasehu. It's a shinoi that could always go back to the original form. V'shinoi hachozel b'yasehu lo shmei shinoi. You need a significant shinoi. Any shinoi that can be undone, then that's not considered a shinoi. And this is just untied, it's undone, that doesn't qualify as a shinoi maisa. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Shina Maisa doesn't work. But maybe, l'kniu b'shina Hashem. So maybe you should be able to kone it. The Avankri cuts it off. There's Yish. And then they'll change the name of it and be kone with Yish and Shina Hashem. What's the Shina Hashem? Dimi kara havle asa. Initially, these hadassim are called in Aramaic an asa. The hashta, now after using it for the lulavim, it's called Hoshana. It's called the Hoshana. It changes the name from asa to Hoshana. And that should be Shina Hashem and work. The Gemara says, no, Meikar Nami La Asa Hoshana Karile. Even from the beginning, even though it's called Asa, we also refer to it as Hoshana. The name never changes. That's why Shina Hashem doesn't work. In theory, Shina Hashem and Shina Maisa could work, but in this application, these don't qualify as Shina Hashem and Shina Maisa. All right, so I guess we'll stop here a little bit early. Got some good stuff in.